Well, our reading today comes from Colossians, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. And it says this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So today we're continuing in our series from Colossians as part of the course Fruitfulness on the Frontline. It's something that we've been considering Sunday by Sunday and also midweek in our home groups. And this short passage today falls quite neatly into two sections. The first section is about our indirect involvement with outreach and evangelism, with people that are out there in the mission field. And then the second part is more about our direct involvement with the people that are around us. So I'm going to take the first section. And here's one way to picture what's going on here, I think. The Apostle Paul is on the front line of the battlefield. He is there with a team of frontline soldiers. There's Paul, obviously, himself. He's also there with Timothy, Aristarchus, and Epaphras. They're all names that are mentioned in Colossians. And together, they are a unique team of stormtroopers. Stormtroopers in a spiritual battle to recapture the hearts of men and women for God. They've made a strike at the enemy lines and met a tremendous counterattack. Paul and Aristarchus are now prisoners of war, and it looks as though the enemy has the victory. But Paul manages to smuggle a letter out of the prison camp to some fellow soldiers who are stationed to the rear. That's the Colossians. In the letter, he asks them to get on their walkie-talkies, call command headquarters, and ask headquarters to fire a missile that will blast open a door in the prison wall and in the enemy's front line so that Paul and his crack squad can get on with their mission of bringing people to God. Sounds like a great movie, doesn't it? Not Saving Private Ryan, more Saving Souls for Christ. So the point that we're most interested in here is the soldiers to the rear, the Colossians, with their walkie-talkie of prayer, are very crucial to the frontline successes of the evangelists. That's Paul and his team. Now, some of you may know that I have quite a keen interest in the battlefields of the Somme in France. And, of course, there are all sorts of commemorations going on at the moment because it's the 100th anniversary of World War I. I was out there nearly 10 years ago on the 1st of July 2006, camped out on the battlefields with volunteers who were reenacting some of the things, the events of that first day of the Battle of the Somme. And indeed, in a couple of weeks' time, my family and the Plush family as well, we're going to be invading France with our caravans. We're going to take France for our caravans and caravanists everywhere. And we're going to be pitching on the battlefields of the Somme, and we're going to have a look at some of the things there once again. I could talk for hours about this, so if you want to talk for hours, catch me afterwards, okay? But my point with bringing this up is that the battle tactics of World War I and of the Somme were very much what Paul is doing here. The soldiers on the front line would get messages back to the soldiers behind the lines, telling them to get in touch with the commanders, so that the artillery fire, the big guns, could be directed in the right direction and pinpoint their targets. The idea being that the artillery, the big guns, would break the barbed wire on the front line of the enemy, break into those front line trenches, punch a hole through those defenses so that the Allies could go over the top and advance and seize ground. Now, historians down the years have debated the success of this on the Somme. But my point really is this. You and I are the soldiers who are behind the lines. We've been asked to get in touch with headquarters. That's God. And he's asked us, through our prayers, to get in touch so that we can fire the big guns, so that God can fire the big guns to break down the barriers for the soldiers that are on the front line. Now, in the passage, Paul has advice for the soldiers behind the lines on how to pray and what to pray for. So, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Paul says we should pray with devotion. Now, that suggests to me that we're to do it pretty regularly. After all, if you're devoted to someone or devoted to something, then you give that someone or that something quite a bit of your time, quite a lot of your attention. Elsewhere, Paul talks about being persistent in our prayer. We're also to be watchful. In other words, keep ourselves informed. Be aware of what's going on. Looking out for what to pray and when to pray. Perhaps we take advantage of information on mission websites, or maybe magazines, or prayer letters from individuals that we receive, or information that's given in church during a service. There are many ways that we can keep in touch and be watchful. And then we are to be thankful. Thankful? Well, we know that the ultimate victory in this battle is secure in Jesus. So we pray all the time, being aware of what's going on, and recognize that we can give thanks that the victory is secure. And we can also give thanks for those battles that are won along the way when we hear good news from the missionary front line of breakthroughs. And then Paul tells us what to pray for, verse 3 and 4. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. So we are to pray for the frontline evangelists. In this case, it's Paul and his team, but it may be other people that we know and we support who are out on the mission field. We're all Christian soldiers, but those of us behind the lines need to uphold those who have a specific call to be out there somewhere else doing God's ministry, doing God's mission. We're to pray for openings or opportunities. Those openings and opportunities could be many different things, maybe specific situations or specific people, specific activities or tasks. But whatever they are, we're to pray that God will open the door for the message, for those frontline evangelists. And we're to pray for the message to be clear, to be made clear, that our frontline workers, when given their opportunities, will make their message clear and understandable for the people that they're encountering, the situations that they find themselves in. So if that's the first section of the passage, we'll move on to the second section now. The second section of the passage is more concerned with our own personal front line. If you like, the home front, to continue the battle analogy. Verse 5 and 6 say this. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, by way of illustration for this, I'd like to return to the wonderful tasting session that we had up here with Lou earlier on. I don't know how many of us watch programs like Bake Off, MasterChef. Oh, not many of you. Oh, right, okay. Perhaps I should ditch this next bit then. No, I don't. I know I need to do this bit. Okay, well, I have to say, like you, I don't watch many of them, I have to say. But I sort of every now and then catch the odd one, the end of one, something like that. And We seem to be inundated by these cookery programs. But the ones that I see, here's the sort of things that I observe when I see these programs. Firstly, the presenters are really enthusiastic about their food. And they use all sorts of superlatives, all sorts of things to describe the texture, the colour, the taste, the smoothness. They really get into it, don't they? Secondly, when they taste the various creations, they pause. And everyone waits with bated breath. I was watching one programme sometime during the week, and the cameras were focusing on these mouths sort of eating, and then on eyes, and cutting from one different person to the other, as we waited for the verdict of our TV chefs. And it's as though their whole body gets involved with what they're doing until eventually they say, oh, that's wonderful, I love it. You know, everything about them is saying, this food is fantastic. And actually, I watched a couple of the children up here who, when they tasted something, were going, like that. Okay, so, you know, it's a physical experience. We're really into it. Thirdly, then, these cooks, they will turn to their studio colleagues or their studio guests, and then they will enthuse to them and enthuse about the food, and they'll try and encourage them to taste it as well. You must taste this. It's great. Oh, don't you think that's wonderful, don't you think? And, of course, their colleagues will do the same thing. They will reciprocate. And fourthly, these cooks, these chefs on TV, they really seem to know their subject and just live for food and live for their subject. And you know, I think it's no accident that the psalmist wrote, as we heard earlier, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's likening his experience of God to good food, a good meal, a satisfying experience, something that fills you up and makes you go, yes, yum. So in verses 5 and 6, Paul says we must make the most of every opportunity. And when those opportunities come our way, and they will come our way, he suggests three more things to think about. First of all, to be wise. How can we get wisdom? Well, it's a combination of knowledge and experience. It's about living for Jesus, knowing his word, and experiencing what a living relationship with the Lord means day to day. Two important sources of wisdom are the Bible and prayer. In the Bible, we read in Psalm 19, verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. By reading God's word, we can gain wisdom and understanding. And secondly, we need to pray. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. That's James chapter 1 and verse 5. In short, know your stuff, just as our TV chefs know their stuff. And Paul says we should season our speech. We should make our speech and our conversation salty. Now, when food is not salted or seasoned, it tastes bland. People don't want to eat it. It's unappetizing. It's boring. Mary Berry, Paul Hollywood, Greg Wallace et al. Would not be impressed. They wouldn't be licking their lips, rubbing their tummies. We need to get excited about what we taste of God. Excited in all that he has done for us and still is doing for us. We need to be as excited and as enthusiastic about God as we were when we were tasting and spreading all the sweets and things around earlier on. We enjoyed that, didn't we? Yes, we did. You see, nods. We enjoyed that. So we need to be enthusiastic about that. We need to be like our TV chefs. Most of us like good food, don't we? Yes. And we like to share good food with others. And we like to do that with all its seasoned flavors. And we like to enjoy it together. So we need to season our conversations about God with others to make what we say interesting and relevant and appetizing for others. And then Paul says we need to give attention to the individual. In the verse, it actually says we need to know how to answer everyone. But if you look in the original Greek, everyone is better translated as each one. So rather than just everyone, all of you, it's each one. in turn. So this implies that actually we know the people that we're talking to. It's people who are close to us, family, friends, neighbours, work colleagues. So that means building good relationships and understanding the people that we talk to. There will be different seasonings for different food. So it is with the people on our front line. It's exactly the same. We need a variety, and we need to have variety in what we say and how we say it as we invite people to taste and see that the Lord is good. And our talk needs to be rooted in our day-to-day tasty experiences of the eternal truths of God. So to draw our thoughts to a close, Paul gives us two things to consider from this passage. We are to pray to headquarters, yes, for the soldiers on the front line out there somewhere, but also for ourselves, soldiers on our own front lines, on the home front, praying persistently and watchfully for wisdom in all situations, making the most of every opportunity to make Christ known. We're also called to be appetizing to others, not boring and bland, but to show enjoyment, happiness, and pleasure in knowing Christ and all that he has done for us, so that others can sense how tasty the Lord is and so will want to know more and taste for themselves. Let's pray. Perhaps let's just have a moment of quiet to reflect on the words of Paul, perhaps to reflect on our own front lines, people that we know around us. Father God, we thank you that we know about and live out the good news that we have of the gospel of Jesus. Father, thank you for the way that you bless us and encourage us day by day. Thank you for your love for us, for your grace, for your mercy, for all that you do for us. Lord, we are thankful. Lord, we are grateful. And it's good to know you. Father, we pray that you will help us as we go about our day-to-day lives with the people that we meet who don't know you, who haven't yet tasted you. Father, help us to be like Jesus, to be Jesus in these situations, to show the love of Jesus, and to talk about what Jesus means to us. Help us, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.